Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And He is good. The Lord is so wonderful to His people. And I want to be wonderful to God because God loves us. Our life can be worship. Jesus said that He's looking for people that will worship God, worship Him in spirit and in truth. Only people that love Him can do that. Only people who are single in their eye, they're looking to the Lord. They can completely worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because our lives can be worship. Everything you do can have the motive of God with it. The pure life. And the more I see and understand life, when you embrace it and you receive it and you hear it, not just to get you over a hump, not just to get out of trouble, but when you embrace the love of God with the intent to love others, when you hear His word with the intent to do better and live it, to be a blessing, that's worship. When you receive, we receive forgiveness and then we forgive others. That's worship. When we work as unto God and get and we're blessed on our jobs and our careers, our businesses, and we seek to be a blessing to people, and then we give, our tithes is worship. When we minister to others with the intent to win them to the Lord, to help them know God so they can be blessed, like we come blessed, and that they may live forever, it's worship. Evangelism is worship. Preaching and teaching is worship. Healing the sick is worship. Watch this. Winning your battle against the enemy, not letting the enemy rob you, is also worship. Your whole life, you're reaching forth. You're moving in the wrong thing out of the way, building the wrong thing, making the whole earth just like the government. You're bringing forth will of God. No man can tell me that's not worship. God gave us. Jesus said, if you only love people that serve to you, we benefit from everything. He said, what thanks do you have? But if we're thankful for the forgiveness we receive, we want it on everybody. It's a natural response. It's not something that you have to teach. It's something that's automatic. When I first realized I was forgiven, I was willing to forgive everybody that did me wrong. I saw something I never saw before. I experienced something I never experienced before. I had the peace and fellowship of God. I had His joy. My misery was gone. And I would live there forever. That first love was alive, and I didn't want it to quit. But I didn't know much. I just knew that I wanted, I embraced the life that God gave. I didn't know how it all worked. I didn't even know God yet. But I believed a portion of His word enough to get saved. Then I believed all of His word. I said, I know His word is true. I can trust Him. But I didn't know that, you know, I had to learn. You learn to trust God because you know whether you trust Him or not if He tell you to do something and you do it. When I saw it in the Word, it took some things I began to do. I wanted to ask God to help me do it. I didn't think I could do it. I knew it was right. But as I live and learn and grow, you know, God, He's not as mysterious as He once was. When you fellowship with Him, the mystery goes out of the window. You get to know Him as a person. And I found Him to be somebody that loves me and He thinks of everything. He considers everything. When He gives you a choice, it's well thought out. He thought of all things before He spoke. He thinks of everything before he speaks. He's not like man. We think of what we want and attempt to get it. But God fully measures everything. He looks at it all. He even looks through time. And his blessings are well balanced. He has to consider you, your strengths, your weaknesses. He can set you up to make more money, but your devotion for God has to outrun the blessings. That's why he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And this is the perfect way to be blessed. And you do things by stages. If you follow God, you're going to be fine. And people are going to say, well, I'm further along than him. Why did he get it and I didn't? You can't look at it that way. You have to follow him. And he'll bless you. He'll show you there are golden opportunities every day. If we pay attention to him, he can reveal it to us. And he'll show you the best way to be blessed, even the shortcuts. But first you have to keep your eyes on him. And never let anything alter your single eye. If you have the ability to focus on the Lord only, and when I say that, I mean you're looking to God, and you're not looking for anybody else to gratify you at all. You're looking at the Lord. We're complete in Him, and we look to be a blessing to others. And sometimes people will be a blessing to you. And you embrace them, you know, let them be a blessing to you. But don't pressure people to be a blessing to you. We don't have to do that. We look to God, and God will fulfill everything. We're complete in Him. People say, well, I need to be married. Well, you can get married if you want, but we're complete in Him. Because when people are not complete, when they don't see themselves as complete in Him, they want their wife to do certain things and be a certain way, and wives want their husbands to listen to them. Well, when you're complete in the Lord, you don't need anything from anyone. You don't have to require anything from anyone. You can serve them, and you're still fulfilled. But when they're a blessing to you, it's wonderful, and they're more apt to be more of a blessing when you have the maturity that comes from loving God. But when people are needy, it's easier for the enemy to get them in strife and out of focus. You start focusing on people. You start focusing on what's not right. And the devil starts showing people, he can show you a bag of problems. There are so many things people just they're not aware of. And he can amplify, he can magnify that to change your focus. And you become unbalanced in your thoughts, in your ways, in your will. You start responding, you know, well, since you did that, I'll do this. I know you don't like it, but I don't like what you did. It starts a strife war. When people are in strife, they can't hear each other anymore. When people are in strife, they don't listen the same. They listen wrong. They hear things that's not there. But when you have the love of God, you're thriving in the love of God. You see what God sees. You hear what God has to say. And you do what God is doing. And life is so much better. And it's easier to know Him. It's easier. You require less of people. And then when they're strong, they'll help you. You don't have to force them to help you. They'll help you. Because what you sow, you reap. What I sow, I reap. What we sow, we reap. When life is worship, it's easier to make the minute adjustments that you need to make. And success, doing greater things don't take much more than what you're already doing. You just have to make a few adjustments in what you do every day. And you'll be successful. If God give you an assignment to write a book, write a page every day. Before long, 100 days, you'll have it written. Or 200. Sometimes you can write 2 or 3 pages. But it will be done. Everything that you do requires your words. But God will give you His plan. And He'll help you. If He wants you to do something, guess what? You have the ability. Not only that, you have His ability to do it. That's what the anointing is all about. The anointing is a sanction that gives a man or a woman God's ability to perform and finish a specific task. It's a grace. Whatever I do right for God is a grace. God gave me that ability. It's not something I can brag on. Same thing with you. You can't brag on the one of them. As if you originated. You can only brag on the fact that this is of God. God enabled me to do this or that. He gave me the wisdom. He gave me the understanding, the power, the ability. Samson never went to military school. He was not a human trained warrior. He had the anointing to judge and kill, fight. And so it is with all the prophets. They had the anointing to do what needed to be done. And we have to see and receive what God is saying. We have to see Him. And it's not hard. We're in the Father's house. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, Paul's life was set up to be worship. All of his intents and actions were to fulfill God's purpose. And this man had to do it without any help. Sometimes he had to do it without money. He had to go and build tents and make money. You know, that could take a while to find a customer that can pay you to build a tent. Build a tent, sell the tent, and make money, and then go out and preach. And, you know, sometimes he went to Gentile cities and they didn't give him any money. Sometimes they did, just depending. You know, Gentiles were not accustomed to tithing. We need them to believe on Jesus. And in order for you to tithe, you have to have the understanding of tithe. You have to have the heart of God. Christ has to be formed in you somewhat for it to be worship. And you can probably get people to do it by coercing them, but that's not really the way to do it. If it's not worship, God don't really want it. He wants it right. You see, I look for people to worship me in spirit and in truth. And the only way for it to be spirit and in truth, you have to have the love of God in it. You have to see the purpose. You have to know that. That's why some people are blessed by tithing and some people are not. That you can't tithe out of strife and call it worship. It's got to be right. You can't be in strife with a person and God accept it. He said, leave your gift on the altar. Then go get it right with your brothers and sisters. Then come back and give your offering. But people don't do that. They just tithe anyway and forget about it. But that's not what. We have to do things according to the love of God. I'm glad that God is patient with us and He loves us. But we need to do it the way He said to do it. And people need to be taught to do it the way He said to do it. Once the Lord told me back in 06, He said, a lot of times churches get in a stalemate because pastors coerce people to tithe and they won't tithe and they get a strife. So once that strife is there, it's going to come out of the heart. If it's in the heart, it's coming out of the mouth. And when people are in strife, you can't teach them. If the people are in strife with the pastor, he can't teach that congregation. You have to deal with the strife. If the pastor's in strife with the people, it's going to block him from teaching the people. And the people receiving what he's saying. Or her. But when you get it right, you know, and when parents are in strife with the pastor and at the dinner table, they talk about it in front of the children. And guess what? The children grow up disrespecting the authority. I'm not talking about just authority, but godly authority. They think it's all right to talk about. You know, Jeremiah talked about people that argue with the priest. Now, if you're going to argue with a priest, come on, that's just wrong. And these kind of problems have to be solved because it does so much harm. While the parents are in strife with the pastor, then the children think it's okay to be in strife with the pastor. But one day they're going to need his counsel, and they're going to think it's optional. The little foxes spoil the vine. But when you're in worship, you have the ability to know what God knows. Because you're in his presence and you're more apt to listen to him. And when that process is in place, you're more apt to listen to the Lord and hear him out. And then these things can surprise people. And then the Holy Spirit will show you your wisdom and how to heal this problem. And sometimes some problems take longer to heal than others. But see, the response of God will help you live and your life will be a stronger version of worship. Corrections has to happen. You know, I happen to be a mechanic, and the cars that they make now last longer than they used to. They're made better. In 96, they came out with the OBD2 system, Onboard Diagnostic Network. And it has the Onboard Diagnostic Network. And the computer can, they're trying to lower emissions. They really wasn't trying to make the car last longer. But in controlling the emissions, it made a better car. Now, older cars, they didn't last long because they had carburetors. And they had points and plugs. The first type of cars had points and plugs. Mechanical, everything was mechanical. And the mechanic had to set everything and adjust it, and it was mechanical. It's a good system, but it's not perfect. And then when you turn around and as the car aged, as time go on, you have to take it and get a tune-up, and they had to reset everything. And if they set it good, it did better. It ran pretty good. But when you, in cold weather, when you hit the, pat the gas to prime the carburetor, and then a choke flap would cause it to run rich because cold engines need more fuel. And you get, while you in the house waiting on the car to warm up, it's getting more fuel in your oil pan. And the system was just not as good. It's not as refined. But the OBD2 system and the OBD system, first version, it wasn't as good as the second, but it's like having a mechanic fine-tuning your systems all the time. And so it lowers the emissions in your engine, and you have less oil in the field. When the Lord is helping us to make the right adjustments, we do better. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.